So, I'm very happy to be here. To all of you in this magnificent temple. During the Prabhupada book distribution marathon. Today being Monday morning, we read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And yesterday, His Holiness Sri Prabhupada Krishna Goswami Maharaj said that I can speak on any verse of my choice. And so I thought to speak on a verse that is appropriate to the time, place, and circumstance. We read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Brata Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Brata Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Mercy.
Yes. approve. Tan A him. He what? Vishmaya. Wonderful. Translation. When the personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear of the activities of Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, they would say, what is wonderful for a person who has been granted the Lord's mercy? Please repeat. When the personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear of the activities of Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, they would say, what is wonderful for a person who has been granted the Lord's mercy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had no fixed residence. They stayed beneath a tree for one day only and wrote huge volumes of transcendental literature. They not only wrote books, but chanted, danced, discussed Krishna, and remembered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Thus they executed devotional service. So the first paragraph of the purport summarizes some of the wonderful activities of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami that they had no fixed residence and they would sleep every night under a different tree in Vrindavan. And it is said that when they were staying in different places, because of their advanced devotional service and the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, different pastimes of Krishna would be revealed, because practically under every tree in Vrindavan, Krishna wandered and enjoyed pastimes. When I read this, or heard it, I should say, because at that stage, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita had not been published. But when I heard this and considered it, I thought I also should not be attached to a fixed place. So at that time, I was living in the Calcutta Temple, which is still there. And we all brahmacharis would lie down on the floor on a straw mat. But instead of trees, we had ceiling fans. So I used to joke that every night I would sleep under a different fan to Vrindavan, there are Prakriti Sahajiyas who say that writing books or even touching books is taboo. For them, devotional service means being relieved from these activities. Whenever they are asked to hear a recitation of Vedic literature, they refuse, saying, "What business do we have reading or hearing transcendental literatures? They are meant for neophytes." They pose themselves as too elevated to exert energy for reading, writing, and hearing. So when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took his parikrama party to Radhakund, he spoke for many days. And these Babaji's at Radhakund, many of whom are Sahajiyas, thought that he was such a great Mahabhagavata, he will speak of some intimate lila of Radha and Krishna. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew that they are not on that platform. So instead, he spoke on Sri Ishopanishad. And they thought, what do we have to do with the Upanishads? This is like the Yanis or the Alpites or something. They were not interested. But it's a very important principle in devotional service to know what service is appropriate. And if that Rupa Goswami cited a very nice verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharchi Vidhina, that devotional service which does not accord to the revealed scriptures, Upadhyaya Kalpataya, simply causes a disturbance. And therefore he compiled many books, especially Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has given us as a summary study, as a nectar of devotion, to guide us how to practice devotional service, not by our own mental concoction or identity, but according to authoritative scriptures. Nana Shastra Vichara Nathani Kunosa Dharma Samstapako. The six Goswamis were very expert in scrutinizing the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles. And Srila Prabhupada said that the Krishna consciousness movement is being conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. In other words, we are following his directions, especially in the Bhagavad Sanskrit Siddhi. There was another great predecessor, Acharya, who lived in Vrindavan, named Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. And he was known for his very deep absorption in Astakalyamila Smarana, that means thinking of Krishna's pastimes. as they are active through the day. So some devotees came to you thinking that he would instruct them in these very high esoteric practices. But instead, he told them that they should work in the garden and cultivate fruits and flowers and vegetables to offer to the Lord. So these disciples didn't like that. They had come for some more esoteric instruction. So they complained to Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura. We come to learn bhajan as a Kalilas Mahārāja, and he's telling us to grow potatoes and tomatoes. And Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura replied that he is giving you the right instruction. You should obey this instruction. He's giving you the right instruction. Because if you imagine that you can engage in these high practices, you just fall asleep and dream, daydream about your things. So there are authorized scriptures, and they give instructions. And then also there is the question, which instruction is appropriate for us? But fortunately, Śrīla Prabhupāda has adjusted, not exactly adjusted, but he has taken the instructions of the previous acharyas and the scriptures and created a program in ISKCON that everyone can follow and make advancement. And certainly reading his books and discussing his books are a very important part, very important part. So, yes, should just repeat, whenever they are asked in here, a recitation of Vedic literature, they refuse, saying, what business do we have reading or hearing transcendental literatures? They are meant for the Upas. They pose themselves as too elevated to read or exert energy for reading, writing, and hearing. However, pure devotees under the guidance of Srila Rupa Goswami reject this sahajiya philosophy. It is certainly not good to write literature for money or reputation, but to write books and publish them for the enlightenment of the general populace is real service to the Lord. That was Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's opinion. And he specifically told his disciples to write books. So this is Parampara. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, all the six Goswamis, they wrote books for the enlightenment of the general populace, which means us, literally the general populace. And that instruction and that practice has come down through Parampara to Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, who wrote many books. and he instructed his disciples to write books. And Srila Prabhupada obediently followed the instructions of his Guru Maharaj. And he wrote so many books. In fact, it is inconceivable that someone could write so many books in such a short time. Srila Prabhupada, well, he came to America in 1965, and other than easy journey to other planets, and the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which were very important books, that it was only when he had the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that he felt ready to come to America. There was also this Guru Maharaj's instruction that he should preach the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language. Western countries. But he didn't feel that he could come alone. He wanted to have some books. And then when he had translated and published Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, he felt ready. And from the very beginning in New York City, he was selling his books. He would go to bookstores. Some years later, when devotees were doing research about Srila Prabhupada's life and interviewing people, they went to some bookstores where Srila Prabhupada had distributed his books. They went, "Oh, yes. One very nice Indian gentleman came, and he would always give us, they didn't know the name, but samosas. He would give them samosas when he went to sell them his books." And he said from the very beginning, the basis of his movement was book distribution. Publication and distribution of books. He said that there are temples in India who try to get money by showing the deity. But he said that is not proper. According to the spiritual science, there are two paths. One is called Pantra Trikivedi, that's deity worship, and the other is Bhagavat Mara, which means chanting and hearing about Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. So he said that Pantra Trikivedi is important for purification. But the real propaganda is from distribution of most of the message of Krishna. And that should be the economic basis of a temple or a preaching mission. So from the very beginning he did that. And he was not eager to build temples, but when money came from book distribution, then he thought to utilize that money to build temples. So the two, one follows the other. One follows the other. And So the business of advanced and empowered devotees is to write books, publish them, and distribute them widely. So Srila Prabhupada has written the books. Of course, he didn't want his followers also to write, but he's written the books. And then the next is to publish the books, which the BBP is doing. And the next is to distribute the books, which all of you are doing. And this is the business of advanced and empowered devotees. So we must all be advanced and empowered devotees. Or else, you are in that line of humble service, serving the servants of the advanced and empowered devotees. And so you are connected, you're getting the benefit. And if you stick to it, you will also be advanced and empowered devotees. According to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, distributed literature is like playing on a great mridanga. It's used to call the printing press as the Brihat Mridanga, the great mridanga. Because an ordinary mridanga, if you go on Harinam Sankirtan, which is also very important, it's not that we should not go on Harinam Sankirtan, but that beating of the mridanga on Harinam Sankirtan, that can be heard for a few blocks. But the Brihat Mridanga, the printed press, publication of books, that can be heard all over the world. And many devotees have had experience. I have experience. I was the first devotee from ISKCON to go to West Africa, Nigeria. His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami mentioned a little about the struggle to get the land as jewels and then build the temple. So we needed funds to build the temple. And I had a friend in Bombay, a very nice man, named Damodar Chandrai, who had a very big business in Lagos, Nigeria. And he suggested that you come there and raise some good funds for the Jubilee Temple. So I thought, I'll try. So I wrote to GBC, Ramananda Prabhu, who was in East Africa at the time, in Nairobi. He said, okay, I will join you in Lagos, and we will collect together, and I will keep half, and you can keep half for June. So I mentioned this to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, what do you need Ramananda for? You go and you collect and you bring all the money. So he was, his priority was the Jubilee project. He didn't want any of that diverted. So I went, and we did do some Harinam. And people really gathered around me. The African people, they really liked music, drums, and But there were some people who approached me, African people, pretty well dressed, and they started speaking about the Bhagavad Gita and about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And I said, how do you know all these things? Did you ever meet devotees? And they said, no. I said, well, where did you get this knowledge? So they said, we had a friend who went to London. And in London, he met devotees on the street. And he bought some books from them. And then he brought those books to Lagos, to Nigeria. And he was sharing them with his friends. So even before any devotees had gone there, Prabhupada's books had reached, and people were learning about Krishna consciousness. And sometimes a whole yatra can begin just from the books. That was the case with Venezuela, the country in South America. One devotee, no, he wasn't a devotee, I should say that. A tourist from Venezuela visited Israel. And in Israel, he met some devotees and got some books from them. He himself wasn't a devotee. And he brought them back and he shared them with his friends. And they started reading and being convinced of the philosophy, and then it's set to chant, and they began to chant, and they started Krishna consciousness without meeting any devotees, except for the devotees in Israel who gave them the books. And eventually they had a whole little community of devotees, and Srila Prabhupada, and he went. It all began with the books. So that's Brihadaranyaka, that can be heard all over the world. And same in Russia. You might know in history, in 1977, there was an international book fair in Moscow, and the BBT went, Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj. And that's really, of course, Prabhupada went and he initiated that disciple, Dr. Shanti Das. That, the way that was the beginning, but it really increased when the books entered. And that was such a big thing that Srila Prabhupada, in the last days of his life in Vrindavan, he was like discussing. So he would discuss all day. Did they take the books? Did they like the books? Did they want more books? That's such a big part. Service. And that was Srila Prabhupada's mummies. And I mean, now I don't know if those sort of titles that the gurus were given are still used very commonly, but his title was Srila Bhagavan. I thought that was very appropriate because Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, and also Bhagavat, Mahabhagavat, Srimad Prabhupada. So Bhagavat, he's serving the feet of Srimad Prabhupada, Mahabhagavat, and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so that's how this you can just feel the potency here, not just in the temple, but the whole belly area. You can just feel there's so much potency because of that strong connection to the Parampara, to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gopa Krishna Swami Maharaj. So now, Srila Prabhupada is concluding this purport. Consequently, we always request members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Are you members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness?
Yes.
So this is Srila Prabhupada's request to you. Consequently, we always request members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to publish as many books as possible and distribute them widely throughout the world. By thus following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, one can become a Rupa Durga devotee. So here Srila Prabhupada is the purport back to the first point, that there are sahajiyas. Sahajiyas themselves can take things very cheap. So they can all being a Rupa Durga. Rupa means Rupa Goswami and Aruga means followed. Being a Rupa Durga means we just wear a little loincloth and sleep under trees at night and don't eat much. But that's there. That's sort of the external manifestation of their internal Krishna consciousness. But the result of their internal Krishna consciousness was that they wrote many books. They're living there simply under trees, but they wrote treasures of transcendental knowledge of books. So here, Srila Prabhupada very expertly and skillfully and beautifully is coming back to the original point that being a Rupa Durga doesn't mean, you know, living, just dressing in one cloth and, you know, sitting under trees. But the real essence is and Rupa Goswami describes Sri Chaitanya Mahavishnu Sahitanya Bhutta. He understood the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was empowered to establish the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on earth, Bhutta. So that is done primarily, not exclusively, but primarily through writing and publishing and distributing books. And this is Parampara, and this is going on here, and the results are being seen and experienced. And Srila Prabhupada said it's like a train. That my guru Maharaj is pushing me like a train. One car pushes the other, that pushes the other. That my guru Maharaj is pushing me, and I'm pushing all of you. And now it's continuing. that pushing through parampara is continuing. And that is, and as I mentioned, the seen and experienced very vividly. The whole temple is recharged with that beauty, and it's very enlivening. So I'm very indebted to my dear friend and Srila Bhatt brother, Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who made this amazing service, not only in Delhi, but it's very tangible in Delhi. It's amazing. It's very and you are also very fortunate to be connected with that advanced and empowered devotee, and by continuing in the same line, you will also and also become advanced and empowered and carry on the tradition. Hare Krishna. Do we have a second? Good.
Good. I'm very kind to appreciate the service of the devotees of book distribution. I offer the devotees the one reason why we have so much, why we have so much such abilities, is due to the consolation of Prabhupada. The Prabhupada used to reside in Adhatama Mandir in Vrindavan, regularly traveled to Delhi, the books, and then God himself to distribute books in the streets of Delhi. Prabhupada was then distributing books in the coffee house in Delhi, the back of other magazines. So he published a Bhagavatam, and he would go to the library in Delhi and play in the library. The Prabhupada spent so much time, and there's a temple in Shibiwara that Prabhupada decided and transferred the Bhagavatam. And by Krishna's mercy, it appears, and next month we may have access to that temple.
I believe they should be the main books that we read and study. But Srila Prabhupada also instructed disciples to write. He established Bhaktivedanta Dhyan's name in America so that his disciples would have a place where their writing could be published. He introduced Srimad Bhagavatam class. Otherwise, he could have just read his books. But there's a potency in discussing. In fact, one of the last purports that Srila Prabhupada dictated on his bed in Vrindavan, he said, discuss Srimad Bhagavatam daily as much as possible. Each and every word is transcendental. And the more you discuss, the more the subject becomes clarified. So that is our process. And Thomas Hopat Panaviri is something that we discuss in the Association of Devotees. So, it was Prabhupada's instruction to disciples to write. And he personally instructed me. In one letter to me, he wrote that this writing is important for everyone. But the mood is never, and obviously, to like compete with Srila Prabhupada and think that we can surpass Srila Prabhupada. But the mood is to serve Srila Prabhupada, perhaps inspire people to take his books and read his books. I've spoken to devotees who've written books. One god brother, Gurudas, he's a professor in there. He's published some books. But as he says, his goal is that by reading his books, people will read Srila Prabhupada's books. Because he's like, and this is also kind of interesting. You know the story of Lord Chaitanya, that as Vimal Pandit, some of his students sort of, we could say, rebelled against him or defied him. And then he thought, you know, what to do if they don't accept me, how can they convince me? So after due consideration, that phrase is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, after due consideration, he accepted sannyas. Because in India, people respect sannyasis, especially that in that culture. So Garuda Prabhu was thinking, you know, people in the West don't hear us so much. So what's the equivalent of taking sannyas in the West? The equivalent is getting a PhD. So he got a PhD so people would respect him. And then because they respect him, so they buy his books, take his classes, buy his books. And then, when they're ready, they can take Srila Prabhupada's books. So, and the example is of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Prabhupada said that the scientific routine is it's the same philosophy as the Bhagavad Gita, but presented in scientific terminology, so those scientists will appreciate it. And he instructed Srila Bhakti Sri Damodar Swami Maharaj, even in Prabhupada's lifetime, he wrote a scientific basis of Christian consciousness. So it's the same philosophy. It's all Prabhupada, really. If the authors are pure and intellectual, it's all Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came to Boston in 1970, he had a meeting with the staff of Bhaktivedanta, because at that time the press was in Boston. And so they were asking him, what should be the order of the articles in Bhaktivedanta? So he said, if there's anything by my Guru Maharaj, it should be first, and then mine, and then all of yours. And then he said, actually, all the articles are written by me, but they're just being submitted in different names. So, if we're transparent, as we're supposed to be, they should all be named Sashi Prabhupada, but just in different names. Hare Krishna. So, I think we'll end now. Service, but thank you for your association and encouragement. And I do hope to come back again.
Yeah.